This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Woman on ORFM Dunedin.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Wondering Women. I'm your host today, Amy Armstrong, and I'm here with a lovely guest, Nicole Kelvin. Welcome, Nicole.
Hello, Amy. Thank you. I love being here. Thank you.
This is so exciting.
It's cloudy outside.
Yeah, it is a cloudy day. So I know Nicole from... We were in a choir together at church, and I was just thinking, watching you with your headphones and the microphones here, we've done this before when we recorded songs with our good friend Jim, but who's no longer with us, sadly, and whose anniversary was this week, actually, 3 years ago today. But that's a bit heavy way to start our show today, but Nicole and I used to sing together in a choir, and Nicole is... She's came from Malaysia to Dunedin to study at the University of Otago. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what drew you to Otago to study and everything like that?
Yep, let's start with that. But yes, Jim will always be in our heart. So
yeah, we miss you, Jim.
Well, actually, I came to Dunedin because my sisters are both here. And when I heard that, I think my dad said to me, like, oh, do you want to, you know, follow your sister's path, like, you know, study in Dunedin? And I was like, yeah, I mean, let's widen the horizons. I love to explore as well. Never been outside the country. I mean, like, longer than just a short visit. So it's lovely to be in Dunedin for studies. Yeah.
How old were you when you moved to Dunedin?
I was turning 17. Sorry, 18. Yeah.
So quite young, really.
Yeah, 2018.
To leave home, but then having your sisters here. You had two sisters here, right? Kylie and Natalie.
Yeah. Because I think it's more different or hard for both my sisters, because especially for my eldest sister, Kylie, because when she came here, it's just her alone. And when I came here, I had both of them already. So it's... Yeah, it's much easier for me.
That was lovely.
Acclimate, you know, myself to uni here and be with them as well, exploring Dunedin. So
cool. And did you know when you came what you were going to study, or did you decide once you got here?
Good question, Amy. I don't. I feel like I'm like a kid with many dreams.
I
still have many dreams.
Well, you're still very young.
Not accomplished yet, but. But yeah, when I came to Dunedin, I didn't have everything figured out. So, and that's okay. I mean, the past few years, I'm like, oh, kind of wish I had this, you know, this path figured out before I came. But that's okay, because I feel like Dunedin now, it's like a place for, it was a place for me where I discovered what I really like. And that's how I went into zoology.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So something, once you got here, you looked at different programs and something drew you to zoology.
Yep, definitely. Because I came and I did my health science in foundation year.
Oh, yeah.
At the Otago University. And I guess during that time, I actually wanted to become like maybe a pediatrician or, you know, something medical field. And then also because growing up in Southeast Asia, especially, I think, Asian culture, I'm not sure, but most Asians, you're like, oh, you know, it's good for you to become a doctor or a lawyer. But don't let that, you know, bring your dreams or your whatever you want to become, you know, don't let it die out just because people tell you to be something you don't actually want to be.
That's good advice, Nicole. Yeah. That's really good advice. And I think, sometimes there are cultural pressures to do something that seems impressive and important, isn't there? I think in all cultures, but I think in Asia in particular, I have talked to other students too, and they don't want to disappoint their family.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
But so you landed on zoology?
Also, because actually, I mean, although I didn't have everything figured out when I came here, but my love for nature, animals still stayed. Like, it's there to begin with, because both my parents work in forestry. And they would, you know, bring, you know, me and my sisters to work. And we can look at the deers and all those things. So,
wow.
I never knew that.
That's cool. But it would be very different, the zoology in Malaysia to New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Because I guess with especially different species of like animals and plants right there and the climates as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Still cool to know what we have around the world. So, yeah.
Awesome. So then you did your undergrad in zoology.
Yes, I did undergrad in zoology. Then I did postgraduate diploma in zoology as well.
Okay. Mm. And what did you focus on your postgrad diploma?
I remember that year when I was like, oh, yeah, I want to do research. It's something I really like. Mm. And I actually started with exploring like, oh, I could do something with geckos. Yeah, like the jeweled geckos here.
I love geckos.
They're so cute.
They're very cute.
We really need to, you know, maintain this species here.
Yeah, we do.
But then I met a few of my lovely, lovely supervisors, Jenny, and she introduced me to entomology. And that's how I got into butterfly research. Yeah.
So you did entomology more.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sad though, they don't really have like the entomology paper itself, but
okay,
maybe one day. Because there are lots of students that actually love it.
Mm. Yeah, and there would be really interesting insects and entomology to study here in New Zealand, eh? Like we've got some quite unique species.
Yes, yeah. And then, so the butterfly that I studied was the red admiral, Kahukura butterflies.
Yeah.
I love them.
They're beautiful.
They're beautiful. Yeah, and then while studying this butterflies, I also studied the host plant of this butterfly, so the onga onga, and the importance of actually having them around, you know, New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
to help.
Onga onga, did you say?
Yeah, so the stinging nettles.
Oh.
Yeah. Although they can be quite painful, but they actually really helpful.
Did you get lots of nettle rashes when you were doing your research?
Even though they were like, oh, just wear some gloves, but I feel like the nettles, the stingers, would actually penetrate through.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, but no, that's
it's
okay.
Painful but short-lived generally, isn't it? Like it goes away pretty relatively quickly.
Yeah. And then makes you feel stronger sort of through those things, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm. And is the Red Admiral a native species to New Zealand?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, they are. I think the Red Admirals, we can find them in, like, UK as well. But, we have our own, like, Vanessa Gonorilla, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, here.
Oh, lovely. And they're sort of, like, they're smaller, and they've got red and black from what I remember.
Yes, they do. Yeah, lovely patterns on their wings.
Yeah.
Mm. And I guess while working in the field, during research here, because I did it with my mentor, Greer, she wrote like her own study as well, and it's really cool. It's also about Kahukura butterflies. And then while on the field, I kind of like, I don't know, I feel inspired by her because it's not like there are not many ladies on the field, especially in conservation. Like it's a very male dominated field.
Okay, interesting.
So
So it inspired you to maybe do something in the field, do you think? In the same area of like research or?
Yeah, definitely. And she taught me like, you know, it's just because you're, you know, like a girl, you have like these dreams of researching. But then you don't have that strength, like maybe like your male friends. That's still okay because you still have that nurturing aspect in you to go in that field, and because your the attention to detail as well in you could help out with the research. It's not just your strength, so
not just physical strength of being out there hiking and
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's lovely. So, what was her name?
Oh, Greer Sanger.
Greer?
Yeah, she's a researcher here.
Shout out to you, yeah, Greer, for mentoring young women in this field. That's really cool. That's really cool to hear. She could be a future guest. I might look her up.
Yeah, yes, please. I would actually like, you know, message you like, hey, do you want to?
Awesome.
Yeah,
cool. Because it's really fascinating what you're talking about. I love to hear about just the nature and the studying of nature in New Zealand. It's really, I used to be in zoology many years ago. But it's, and I actually did entomology in the States.
Oh, cool.
So, and insects are amazing. Like,
they are.
Such a big part of our ecosystem, and we sometimes think they're annoying and swap them away, but.
But they actually make up the big part of it, like with especially as pollinators and stuff.
And I think there's a bit more known now about how we have to look after our bees, and they're important for the pollinating and to keep the plants going.
Because we're all just coexisting as well.
We are.
We need to protect nature.
We do.
Yes, people out there. So, if you're planning to do, you know, something that is outside of the medical field, conservation is here for you too.
And I love that, like, your story of just how you came to what you studied. I think there are some kids who know from the age of 8 or 10 that they always want to be a doctor or a fire person or whatever. But that was never my experience. In fact, I feel like, in my 50s, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You know, like,
that's okay.
I think it's just different personalities and different ways of approaching life. And it's just good to know that there's different ways out there to coming to your career. So if you don't even, like, I know at Otago, the way the medical system works, if you don't get into the course of study you want because your grades didn't make it for the first year, it can be devastating for people.
Yeah.
And it's also good to know that sometimes the path pivots for a reason, and there's things out there that you're really good at that maybe you didn't even know about.
Yeah, I love what you said there, Amy, because, sometimes I could relate to that because I have dreams of becoming a vet as well.
Okay.
I still do because I really love, like, parasites, One Health stuff. Yeah, animal-related studies. But, I feel like I can't reach that path yet, but I'm on an alternative path like conservation, which I do love as well. And because when you're not on that, you know, your dream path, but you're on the other path, you will still, you know, love it. And who knows, you might actually land on something you really love for life. So take it slow.
That's right. Oh,
yeah.
You're very wise for your young age, Nicole.
Oh, Amy, because of you.
But also, I like that you said you still have a dream of maybe becoming a vet. It's still there. Like, and sometimes it happens, it takes longer, or maybe it doesn't happen, but it doesn't, it still could happen.
Yeah.
So that's good to, just to be open and watch and listen and see where life takes you, eh?
Yeah, that's true. Oh.
So, is there, do you have a next step, or are you still waiting to see?
Good question as well. I'm actually planning to continue studying, but this time probably in environmental management.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about conservation management for a long time, but didn't know where to start as well. So the last few years, while, like, trying to look for a job or thinking about where I really want to go, because I still really want to study more, either in research or anything, but in the conservation field, I was like, oh, I could actually try to enroll in, you know, an environmental management course. So while I did all those things, like enrolling or kind of like looking up universities, the courses, I also did some volunteering work back at home in Malaysia. And when I came back in Dunedin, it joined the Environmental Trust as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's really fun volunteering, like knowing what everyone's doing, the work, so that you know where you want to go as well. So, I guess I've been just discovering what I'm planning to do in my next, you know, in the near future. So,
So I like what you're saying, because often to getting experience through volunteering, like different programs, and then you can discover what you like, or you might discover something you'd never heard of before either in a particular area within the, you know, ecology or environmental management. And yeah, I love that you're doing volunteering along the way to see what's out there and gain more experience and doing some good along the way. Like,
yeah. And it's helping me to fill up my time as well, because I feel like I'm this person that's constantly thinking a lot, like, oh, I might be overthinking or just constantly thinking about some things. And then if I do involve in like volunteering activities, it helps me to meet new people, like new connections, and be more grounded.
Mm.
Yeah, be more grateful about where I am as well. Yeah, like, oh, I've reached this point and I'm meeting more people and listening to their stories.
Yeah.
And I'm discovering more about myself at the same time. So, yeah, really like that.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. And, meeting new people, making relationships, discovering about other people out there, but also then learning about yourself in the process.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it was 2 years ago, I was doing my volunteer work at the Borneo Sun Bear Center back in Malaysia. And then I met lots of new people, lots of really strong ladies as well over there. And then I met this vet, and she's inspired me to actually, pursue the vet dream that I had as well. Sometimes, I don't know, when you meet too many people, you get so many ideas and dreams at the same time again. So, yeah, but yeah, it really makes you think.
Yeah.
It prompts you to like,
So did you meet this vet through volunteering as well?
Or? Yes. Yeah. She's actually inspired me to continue this vet dream. But then at the same time, working with this volunteer, like associations or like centers, it makes me really connect with nature as well.
Yeah.
So like, the need to help out in conservation, especially back at home in Malaysia, because I feel like especially nowadays, there are lots of youth that are aware of what's happening around us, like, there's climate change or like the animals are going extinct or something like that. But then they don't know where to start. So volunteering is a good place. But I hope, can help, like volunteering would help connect this everyone together as well.
Yeah.
Although you don't really, because some people are like, you volunteer, but you don't get money. But it's doing, like, you're helping out what really matters as well, like those small things.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's value to it. It's not necessarily monetary value, but it's a lot more value in some ways, isn't it? To like the world and, as you say, creating human relationships and understanding your relationship to the earth and the ecosystems. And I really love everything you're saying, Nicole.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
And there's something too, as you're talking, I'm thinking about young adults out there, or not so young adults like myself, who, like, how you come to a career, it's different to how it used to be, right? Like at my parents' generation, it's like you decided what you're going to study. In general, you studied it and then you did it for the next 40, 50 years. Mm. And I think my generation was a little bit different. Maybe we studied something and we did it for a while and then we studied something else. And perhaps to the older generation, that was confusing and maybe seemed a bit irresponsible or something. I don't know. And then your generation is different again and just more open and just figuring it out as you go and listening and learning. And but also I was thinking about when you talked about all of these different inspiring people you're meeting and it can be confusing. So is there a way, do you stop and just sit with it? Do you try and, like you had said earlier in the recording, slow down? Like, how do you have a way that you try and let it come to you, or is that, do you just go along and try all the things and wait and see what doors opens.
Yeah, there are so many things going on. But yeah, I usually would just sit and like think about all the people that I've met that inspired me and all my dreams that I have as well. Mm. I'm like, oh, I want to do this too, but I want to do that too, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also do research on it. Like, yeah, is this something that I really want to get into? Because I understand for myself, when I get involved with something, yeah, I really want to make sure that, you know, this is the path for me, kind of thing. But yeah, I agree with you as well, Amy, because I feel like this generation is a lot about exploring what you like, what really fits you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was different for my parents' generation. Yeah. I wonder how, like, they went through all these stages as well. Like, they've got it all figured out at 25, and I'm still here, and I'm 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, wow.
I know.
But yeah, different generations.
And the world is a different place.
Yes.
Like, I think, even I forget that with my 11-year-old son, and I have expectations or ideas of what his schooling will look like and what he will be interested in and or how he spends his free time. And you know, it's just a different world.
Yeah. And you actually learn with your child as well. Like,
absolutely,
the world they are in right now, how they operate things.
Yeah.
And then how, especially now that information technology, like the internet is taking, you know, it's, you know, thing. Doing
everywhere,
its thing. Yeah.
Always present.
Yeah.
But I love that. Yeah. I am definitely learning with him. And, you will see too. It's Nicole is a brand new auntie.
Yes,
congratulations!
Very excited about it to grow with my sister through her motherhood era.
Yeah. And watch as this new little fresh one grows and into this world that is always changing and changing quickly. But it doesn't mean it's a bad place. I think even as a mother of an 11-year-old, I have to keep learning that, like, I might go on and on about the world that I grew up and how we were always outside running around I used to say to Anton, oh, when I was a kid, we didn't have devices that we could. I know, he said. So it's just holding that balance and not being negative about it, but knowing that obviously there's guidelines and wisdom we can bring. And as well as learning from the child and how to navigate this new world of...
Yeah, that's true. I wonder what new things they would have in the future as well. And then we will also have to keep up. But yeah, that's a good thing too.
Yeah, there will be more things coming and who knows what they are. Mm. Oh, Nicole, I've really enjoyed this. We're almost out of time.
Mm.
But how we, on the Wondering Women show, we end each episode by asking the women we interview some of their wisdom about how they, when you have hard times or dark times, what gives you hope? What brings you hope? Do you have certain practices that you do to help bring light and hope into your life that other listeners might gain some wisdom from?
Ooh, definitely have like your own support system. It's a very important one, I feel.
Mm.
Like, could be your best friend or your family members.
Yeah.
But yes, for me, I usually would, you know, whenever I feel low, I would just talk to my parents, my sisters, or my best friends about it. Like, oh, you know, I would ask about their advice, like, what do you think, or their opinions and stuff. And they understand because they're our close support system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to keep our mental health in check as well.
Yeah.
So definitely during dark times, have someone with you.
Yeah.
And you'll never be alone.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't hold it in. Seek out support from family and friends who you think will understand where you're at and help lift you up.
Help share
the burden, I guess.
Yeah. And especially taking walks outside as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because sometimes when I'm really low, I don't want to talk about it yet.
Yes.
I would need some time by myself, either sit in a room or take a walk outside. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm feeling better now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like that too. Because sometimes, I don't know if this happens for you, but sometimes I don't know what's actually bothering me. Like, even my husband will say, what's wrong? Let's talk about it. I'm like, I don't know. I actually don't know. I just need some space and time to let it sort of become clear.
Yeah, that's true.
So the walk, I like what you're saying about sometimes you don't want to talk about it right away and you go for a walk and then have some insight and then maybe you can share it then or when you feel ready.
Yeah, you're like, okay, we can talk about it. Oh, it actually helps to clear up things, really, like make things more peaceful, sort of.
Yeah. The walking or the talking or both.
Yeah. Oh, both. Yeah. Maybe taking a break for a while by yourself, then talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's sometimes it's more than one thing you can do to help bring light or hope into a situation.
That's true, especially for ladies, because I don't know, we have our own mood swings, so
yeah,
and taking a break by ourselves really help. Yeah. Although we do need someone to, you know, ask us how are you sometimes. So ask people around you if they're okay as well.
Gosh, Nicole, you've got lots of wisdom. Thanks for sharing it with us today.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah. I love the questions as well, and then all your insights too.
No, thank you. It's been a really fun conversation and insightful as well. And thanks for the work you're doing in your study and in your volunteering. I think it's really fascinating and important.
Thank you. Oh. I really like to be involved, so I also want to thank all of them for, you know, including me. So.
Yeah, your supervisors and all those who've given you support over the years.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing today. I hope you've all listened to hearing some of Nicole's story. And until the next episode, Ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.